Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday's game against Denver. And there's some interesting trends out there in regards to what the Chiefs are going to see. We know this offensive line for Kansas City has struggled at times. And specifically, we're talking about the left tackle spot. I know Juwan Taylor has had his moments, but really we're talking about the inconsistency at left tackle. Wanye Morris and early in the season, Kingsley. And Andy Reid was asked why was Kingsley in for a few snaps in the game. It had to do with reporting eligible and the way the reporting procedures worked. And we know Wanye also had a touchdown catch at one point in time. So it had nothing to do with like they actually were truly rotating left tackles in the game on Monday night against the Bucs. It was a due to reporting as eligible type of stuff and what they needed to do to make that work. So it had nothing to do with overall performance. But at times we saw Vita Vea destroy the Chiefs interior and get after Mahomes, and then the Chiefs started to run the ball, as we know, in the second half. But look at Denver. If you take a look at how they perform in passing down situations, pass block grade of offensive linemen and what they would call true pass sets only, there's a great opportunity for both the Chiefs defensive line and Chiefs offensive line to prove something here. So on one hand, passing grades, Denver is number 2 tackle, guard, center. They average out as the second best offensive line, and this is just pass blocking base set stuff. Denver has the second best offensive line in those scenarios. Kansas City, believe it or not, is 6th in this category. And so I'll be really curious to see how much pressure. I'm sure some of it will have to be manufactured with blitzing from Spags. We know that's part of his MO, is what made him great and why this defense, if they want to turn it on, they want to essentially hit that button, flip that switch, they can do it under Spags. Heck, Jalen Watson was even tweeting about that during Monday Night Football. Like when Spags wants to make it happen, he can make it happen kind of thing. But against this is a really good offensive line for Denver in passing situations. That's why Bo Nix at times has been successful. And we'll talk about his big play potential later on in the show. And there was a stat that stunned me about where he actually ranks in the NFL. I think you guys will be shocked to see where Bo Nix stacks up in the NFL in terms of plays of 20 yards or more. It really is remarkable. But I want to see what Karlaftis and what Mike Dana, who should be back for this game. Obviously, Turk Warren did not practice yesterday. We'll see if he's available, but Mike Dana looks like he's good to go. What is Felix Anudike-Uzomah? What is, and I guess Uche as well for that matter, what do they do in terms of getting pressure on Bo Nix? Because the Broncos in true pass sets have been as good as anybody, second best in the NFL, in just in those specific scenarios. So I think this is just a really good test for the pass rush of Kansas City in this game. And then on the other hand, of course, it'll once again be the offensive line and going up against a Denver Broncos defense that has been pretty good, because this is maybe the best test for the defensive line as well this season. You go back and you take a look at other opponents that are also on this same pass protection chart and who Kansas City has seen. All right, you go down and all right, Kansas City played the Niners. Well, they're 10th best. We know Kansas City winning that game by 10. They played the Bucs just recently. The Bucs come in at 12th. They played the Raiders already. They're 13th. Let's see who else. The Falcons, 18th. Cincinnati, 19th. Chargers, 20th. And you see those opponents, they haven't seen one in the top five like this. So this will be the best test for the Chiefs' defensive line of the season. We'll talk about O-line in particular a little bit later on, the actual matchups that you could see from the defensive line with Denver. But I think it's fair to say, like, how do you think this Chiefs defensive front is going to do? And can they get some pressure on Bo Nix? That's how this game suddenly gets close. Like, you're asking for scenarios where, why does this end up being close other than the actual, hey, Kansas City games are always close, and every game is the same kind of conversation that we have, you know, going into the Bucs game, like every game looks the same, that kind of stuff. The Chiefs don't blow out anybody, that narrative. Other than that, how does Denver do what they did last year, right, with Russell Wilson, which was shock everybody and upset the Chiefs? How do they pull something like that off again? I think in large part it involves if Bo Nix is upright for a majority of the game. And so this will be a really good test. But I also think, and I agree with this texter, that they're just going to blitz the hell out of Bo Nix. Yeah, I mean, I expect Bo Nix to be under pressure from Spags blitzing, but that also opens the door for some quick pass opportunities for the Broncos to take advantage. Can they get pressure without blitzing? And that, if the Chiefs can get pressure against this offensive line without blitzing and having to blitz, then it's game over, and I think the Chiefs run away with it. If the Chiefs have to manufacture it, of course they can win the game. That's part of what Spags does. But then that's how this game is a little more interesting. I could see Bo Nix getting the ball out quickly. He also is mobile. He's able to do that. The tight ends get involved. We know the Chiefs have struggled against tight ends. But by at least getting pressure on Nix, even if you have to manufacture it, I'm not worried about down the field stuff. As weird as that sounds, because we'll give a stat later on about how Bo Nix has been good, I'm not worried about how Trent McDuffie is holding up. I'm not worried about deep down the field that they're going to have all day to go there. I would be more concerned that, if you have to manufacture blitzing, there's some opportunities in short passing game for Bo Nix to get it to their tight ends and to have some creativity in the wide receiver screen game and things like that. That would be the only thing that I could actually see for this game. Do you think Kansas City is going to be able to get pressure on Bo Nix?
I think they're going to be able to get pressure, but I think to the texture's point and what you just talked about, you know, the manufacturing of the blitzes, and how do we, if they can't get to them with four, then what does Spags do to try to affect Bo Nix? Because we know that even though he has been able to make some of those big plays, him being able to, or him having to make quick decisions has tended in him making some bad plays, some bad throws, ones that he doesn't really mean to throw, but he does anyways because he forces the ball out. And Spags is very creative in doing that. It is not necessarily, I guess, a chess match, but you got Sean Payton, who's a very innovative mind offensively, is creative in the way that he runs his offense. Spags just as creative in the way that he brings blitzes and disguises coverages and all those other things. So I think there is, if they're able to get pressure with four, I think it's really, really going to pose a problem for the Broncos to be able to move the ball with any certainty. But if the Chiefs are struggling to get there with four, whether it be Chris Jones getting double teamed, Karl Aftis just can't get around, then at that point, what does Spags dial up to try and affect Bo Nix and get him off his toes? Because, I mean, we've traditionally seen throughout the last year or so, the Chiefs will give up a touchdown, and then they don't give up anything after that. So maybe Bo Nix goes down the field and looks fine, but the adjustments that Spags makes is better than anybody else. What does he do to try to affect Bo Nix? And I think the blitz is how you ensure that you get to the quarterback more than just having to trust the four if they can't.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.